Hi, welcome to the interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by the Sneak Tech Sneak Boot and Phoenix Shooting Bags. Today we're gonna talk to Corey Pearsall from Sitka Gear, and we're gonna discuss developing a system, look at some of their new products. I get a lot of questions each year about what should I use for this, what should I use for that, and I think people should have a list of what their expectations are of the hunt, what their needs are and stuff like that before they even start looking at clothes. So we're gonna go down that road, and then we're gonna probably listen to a couple of Corey's hunting stories. How's it going today, man?
Pretty good. You?
Yeah. I'm good, man. I was guiding a coos deer client. I went to go help. Actually, my guides there have a champ hunter, which is he's a paraplegic. So we required a little extra help, with transferring, getting in and out, and all that stuff. So I went up to go help the guys yesterday, and the unit that we're in is just like, it's atrocious. I don't know what's going on, but the deer sightings are super low. We fought four guys glassing yesterday. We turned up $3. I think I put close to 300 miles on my truck yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. So we put it, we were sticking and moving. My guys found them. I left last night. My guys found them a really cool looking buck this morning. He's a stag. He's still in velvet. And he's got about nine different daggers sticking out of his top of his head, basically nine spikes. He's pretty cool buck, but they're just trying to figure out how to get him close with the wheelchair and to make a shot. So we'll see how that unfolds.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear you guys are sticking to it and putting in the effort. That's the stuff that means a lot. And it's always neat to hear, you might not see a lot of animals, but that one animal that you did find, that one's going to be a trophy. I mean, no matter what, that experience is going to be awesome for that individual. So thank you for you guys doing that.
Yeah, I'm hoping it pans out. Today's his last day. He's been coos deer hunting before. He went with an outfitter in Mexico and didn't have any luck. And it's kind of, I really want to make it happen for him. So we're busting our tail. Hopefully it'll make it happen. We'll see. Those guys are working hard.
Nice.
So. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and, how you fit into all this.
Yeah. So, I've been working with Sitka Gear for going into almost 7 years now, started answering phones, now leading the customer service team, and helping manage the pro channel. So, guides, outfitters, industry members, we don't like to use the word discount purchases, but just, industry purchases.
Right. I want to, let's talk about the company for a second. What sets Sitka apart from the other high-end brands? Because people ask me that all the time. Why would I go with this versus Kuyu or?
Yeah. Why Sitka? And I think it's a great question. There's a lot of good competitors out there on the market, and competition's healthy. I mean, you look at the mountain sports industry and there's a lot of different competitors, Marmot, North Face, Patagonia, Arc'teryx, Mammut. I mean, the list goes on, and it's a very healthy industry. So competition's healthy, always. It's just going to push all of us, and that's something that we appreciate and that we value. What separates us from the competitors is, I think, a little bit of our character, but mostly our product, I would say. We are purpose-built, so we design gear with specific end uses and try to solve as many problems as we can, so that way the hunter can focus more on the experience. Instead of being uncomfortable, cold, wet, damp. And that's kind of a high-level ethos of ours. But when you really kind of dive deep into it, what really starts to separate us is a few different variables. One, and I'll start from the outside because really, book by the cover kind of thing. And Optifade is one of those variables. Optifade is one of the only patterns, concealment patterns that are out that are not a media arts project. We put a lot of science and research behind Optifade and designing those patterns for specific end uses. From there, the textiles that we use, Just to summarize, I'd say almost half of our textiles are milled by us. So when I say we problem solve, we don't just open up a menu from a manufacturer and say, we want X, Y, and Z and this shape and this pattern. Not, when I say pattern, I mean like the actual design of the pant, the articulation, everything.
Right.
We go scratch all the way from the beginning. And that includes textiles. If we can't find the textile we want that's going to work with our system, it's going to move moisture the right way, then we spec it. There's a couple individuals on the team that are silent heroes that you never hear about. Christina is one of them. That she is just a genius when it comes to textile management. And if she can't find it, she builds it. You know, we work with the mills to build it. And so, like I said, about half of our textiles are from scratch. We do use a lot of technology, but nowadays, I mean, a lot of companies use a lot of technology. It's kind of a, you know, we used, you know, the most innovative, the best, all those buzzwords.
Right, of course,
And that's neat and all. And there's a lot of competitors that use a lot of great, they have great products. But when it comes to the holistic approach of a system next to skin all the way out, we're not just building a garment and saying this one. It's how does this piece fall in with all these other pieces? So we're building systems. So not just, you know, specific textiles, but also systems, and then the fit. Again, like I said, from scratch, we're designing our patterning, the way that a jacket fits, the way the pants fit, we design from scratch all the way out. And then, of course, we have our service, right? So we have just share the team. So again, I'm customer service leader and just hanging out in customer service right now. And so we have very knowledgeable individuals that help share their passion. We talk about the how and the why, not necessarily the what. So when you contact us, you know, we're not just telling you just buy this jacket, trust me. Like, that doesn't do any good. So the service behind it and making sure that we care and that we take care of our consumers, customers, is definitely another piece of that puzzle that make us better, that I believe makes us better.
Yeah, I've relied on, I mean, hell, you and I were just having this conversation the other day. I'm trying to put something together for my South Dakota hunt because I froze my butt off last year. I wasn't really like prepared for the 30-mile-an-hour winds and, you know, teen weather. So, so hopefully this year that won't happen. We came up with a system that looks like it's going to be pretty bulletproof.
Nice. I just noticed as I was drinking my Yeti, I hope I didn't like totally what's the word I'm looking for?
Product placement?
Placement, yeah. Because every Yeti is like branded, right? Like you always have somebody in here. Like, let's throw BHA in here real quick.
No, that's fine.
I felt like maybe it looked like I was strategically trying to do that. So apologize.
No worries. So we support BHA anyway. So
nice.
I actually had Land on here almost a year ago. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I'm gonna go. We're gonna shoot some ducks hopefully this Friday.
Oh, nice.
With Land, Todd, and Grant. Yeah.
Cool.
Looking forward to it. Yeah,
he loves bird hunting. He's got some nice. He's got good dogs too, right?
Yeah, and that leads into something that I didn't even talk about is what we care about. I mean, we care about hunting and the hunting community and what it is that we do. You know, we don't talk enough about it, but that doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right for us to brag about what we.
Yeah,
do
because it's
organizations that's
distracts just, from what you're doing.
Yeah, that's marketing then, and that's not what our intent is. We just care,
right?
And that's another
that's
variable
huge.
That we.
Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says Become a Patron. Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, Become a Patron from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only.
I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again, that even a dollar a month, pledging a dollar a month, $12 a year may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode.
You didn't mention this, but what stuck out for me is, and you mentioned all these other companies like Mammoth, Marmot, you know, North Face, whatever, you know, all these mountain companies that have been building technical gear for mountaineering, which is basically what hunters do, for years. And all those companies use Gore technology.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And you guys are a Gore company. Like that to me stands out. I'm like, so why would I go with X, Y, and Z who are using the technology of the guys who are building Sitka, you know? It's like, for me, like that was a no brainer. Like when I first started looking at, I mean, there's things that, and don't get me wrong. And I'm sure anybody can find, I don't hate to use the word flaw, but shortcoming. I think it's not really a flaw. It's a shortcoming. There's going to be holes in everybody's system because you're designing something for the masses, and you couldn't be, you can't be so specific for everybody. When I first got in the industry, I did a lot of product research for companies. That's kind of what I did. I did R&D stuff. I was the guy that took everything out and beat the shit out of it. And that was my job. And I was like, here, this is what you need to do. This, you need to fix this. So I'm always doing that, no matter what. When I'm wearing something, I'm always like, oh, fuck, I wish it had this, or I wish it did this, or I wish it did that. So I'm very critical. But I think for the majority of people, which is what it was designed for, I think Sitka, it goes above and beyond. So one of these days, I'd like to sit down with the R&D team with you guys and come up with a John Stallone system. We'll see if that's something that can work.
And that's, I mean, to that point as well, like we don't make one system. Right. We make a lot of niche pieces, and I've had people come up and go, man, I just wish you made one system to make it easy. And I respect that, but it's not designing authentic gear. Like,
right.
If you're going to design specific product that solves specific problems, you can't have just one jacket. I mean,
no,
you know, from our big game lineup, I mean, we have three or four soft shells, specifically as outer layers. Then we have, you know, three or four rain shells, and it definitely can be daunting and confusing, which is why we have the, you know, best in class customer service team. We're here to help, right? We're here to help you understand why we have those different options and which one's the best option for you. And we try to do that with the website, but I mean, shoot, if I'm spending any type of money, I'm doing research, and if that requires me to call us.
Call you guys for sure. Because honestly, and I had this conversation with you guys about it, and I think they're making some changes, thank God. The new website, the guy who did the copy on that needs to get punched in the face.
It's a little extreme there.
Because, I mean, honestly, the description on some of the products is like, it's so like,
it's meant to be aspirational, but it's not. Yeah, in some cases, they're not. It's not straightforward. It doesn't just say this is for this, right? Yeah. And a little bit of that, it needs to say that.
One way or another, like, oh, perfect for this kind of situation, this kind of situation, this kind of situation, whatever. Because, like you said, you got three rain shells. Okay, which one do I pick? They all say awesome for torrent winds and downpour and da 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 da. But okay, so then which one do I get? Which one do I need? But, you know, and that's important. And not that, obviously, I didn't put you on here to pick apart.
No, it's good. It's good information, and it is. And you know, we've got a solid team that's working.
I just know that these are
just that.
These are questions that guys have because they ask. I get them all the time. It's like I went on the website and I'm like, oh, I was looking for this and I was looking for that, but I'm like, I don't know what to get. What should I get? And they ask me for their advice.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, and if I know it, I'll tell them. Yeah, go get this. You want this? And you want this and that? You know.
Yeah.
But.
No, I value that stuff. I appreciate it.
So I, and I'm like, you know, they just, I'm gonna start handing out your number.
That's no, it's 877-748-5247.
Awesome. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, all right, let's get away from that. What are some of the like most important things, you know, a guy, girl should think about when he or she's trying to purchase camo? Like, do you have a checklist, or do you have like some kind of system of figuring out what it is that you should bring for you on, like, let's say, you know, I don't know, be very specific, a hunt in Montana in November, rifle hunt for mule deer, whatever, you know.
Yeah, so we in customer service, and you know, one thing about the team is they're all experienced. You know, we haven't been on every hunt. I haven't been on sheep hunt, et cetera, but we know the gear really well, so we can help talk through that. But really, what I always start with is, what are you doing? Where are you going? So understanding what you just said, you know, going on a mule deer hunt in Montana in November, those are three critical pieces of the puzzle that we need to know. You're on the ground, you're spot and stalk. And that helps us align with our big game. So we start with big game and understanding. I might take a step back. The three different categories that we manufacture, again, we solve specific problems. So we're not making one jacket and putting three patterns on it and saying this is great for everything. We're making a waterfowl product that is very specific to a waterfowl hunter, you know, providing warmth and basically just durability and waterproofness. Whitetail, quiet, stealthy, warm, comfortable. Big game, it's got to be light, packable, it's got to move moisture, it's got to be reliable, you know, and so they're all different. And so identifying that correct category first, because of those three variables we just discussed, allows us to then narrow kind of our conversation down. And then it's just depending on personal needs. You know, in November, it's probably going to be late. Do you run cold? Do you run hot?
Right.
Are you going to be active? Are you going to be on the go? We get a lot of questions of, you know, why don't you have temperature ratings on your product? That's tough. You know,
Yeah.
I'm cold-blooded. I run cold. I have you know, my own system because of which, and my father-in-law has a, you know, broken thermostat. I mean, that guy can wear a t-shirt in November and just
Yep.
run and gun, no big deal. So it's hard for us to put a temperature rating on products. It's more or less just understanding what your needs are, what your comfort
Right.
needs are, thermal needs are. And that's hard when you don't know technical gear because you don't have a baseline to start from. Which is why, again, you know, when it comes to gear and questions, what's right, you know, doing a little bit of personal research, I encourage it, but don't ever hesitate to reach out to us. But I'm definitely sidetracking us. From your question of, you know, what is it that you need to consider? I guess I talked a little bit about that, but knowing your own needs,
Yeah,
knowing
it's knowing
what it
you.
is you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's tough for somebody. Like, because to be honest with you, especially if guys, let's say a guy from back east coming to hunt west. Probably something he's never done before, you know, it's his first trip, but out, you know, there's and I've been trying to think. I kind of put something together on my website, on my blog,
It did change.
based on
So you just sent me.
temperature and stuff. I did, you know, like a chart, so to speak. Oh, this is what I wear. This is how I layer for the, you know, it's me, personal me. But this is, and I gave it. I put it out there. It was real popular when I first put it out there, as a guideline to hunters. So I feel like I know you guys don't want to put a, you know, a temperature rating on there and stuff like that, but maybe some kind of a
We,
range of some
yeah,
sort.
we
So people could, I don't know. I just feel like
get
it's
an
so,
idea.
because
Yeah,
most
it.
people are, like, I don't want to, again, I definitely don't want to alienate or but they're not clueless, but they're naive to what's going on. You know, because it's either something they've never done or they're doing something new, especially when guys are buying high-end stuff. It's because they want to be protected because this is a hunt of a lifetime for them, or this is, you
And
know, whatever.
yeah, and And the reality is a lot of people just go, this stuff's the best stuff, so you'll be fine with whatever. Like, that's some of the guidance that consumers get, and that's not healthy. It's not helpful. You need to understand what it is you're getting, the situation that you're going to be in, et cetera, et cetera. We do have kind of a, you know, hot, mild, cold, extreme cold.
Yes.
Kind of.
That helps.
Range. But what's hard about big game is you're going to be sitting static glassing for 3 hours. That's a lot different than hiking all day. And cold is still cold out, but what your needs are going to be are definitely different.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's definitely personal responsibility in it. It, you know, it's not like when I got into mountain sports that I knew it as soon as I started. I mean, I was taking hot dogs and spam into the backcountry with like a, you know, duffel bag on my back wearing cotton jeans. And then you just see somebody else who's more comfortable and you, you know, ask questions, learn about it. And I mean, that's that was high school outing club. Right. Like, I've been doing skiing, climbing, hiking, mountaineering for 35 now. So probably 15, 18 years. So, you know, for me, I take a lot of it for granted, but it definitely was a learning.
Yeah.
In order to figure what I needed, what things are. And now I'm to a point where I can assess product really quickly just online. Right. You can look at the fill weight. You know, the product's intent, the textile, and you're like, okay, that's going to be perfect for September elk hunt, or, you know, our Kelvin Down Windstopper hoodie with 9 ounces of fill and a Windstopper laminate and an expedition fit. Okay, that's designed to go over everything. You don't come to that, you know, you can't deduce those things right away. And so, you know, we're definitely improving our website day to day. And, you know, I always encourage people to give us a call because, I mean, in all honesty, this industry also loves being personal.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just having a conversation. Yeah.
I think that's the best thing. But I just, in a world of everybody wants instantaneous, that's when you run into some issues is because people like, we just want to, you know, instantaneously find out what they want instead of having a call or whatever. But I think calling's the smartest thing. I encourage everybody to do that because to me,
email,
then you're going to get experience from that person that you're talking to.
Yeah.
Along with the technical data, you're not just talking to somebody who knows about the product, knows about how to use the product and where they've used it and whatnot. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. We get emails, questions, and that's the what. I mean, that's all we can say in an email is what you need. We can't really say why or how you know it's going to work for you. It's just, that's a book. And so we always encourage phone calls. Yeah. But to your point, what can a listener think about and help empower them to make those decisions on their own? You know, I think it's got to be, you know, let the past build your future, right? Mm-hmm. What was it that you've had experience with in the past? And consider what that is to understand what you need.
Right.
And that'll help. And, you know, yeah, I guess that's the best that I can give for guidance.
No, that's perfect, actually. That's smart. I like that. Let the past dictate the future. No, that's good. Yeah. Let's talk about some products. What do you think are must haves? And then we'll go from there. What do you think is a must have?
So, as you asked that question, you had also mentioned, you know, what should a whitetail hunter think about getting if they're doing one elk hunt? And we actually get that question a lot. And if I could kind of just build out a system real fast for that,
and then dive into
specifics. So I have my own kind of way of going about that. And it's, you know, you inevitably will have to get two outer layers. The whitetail hunter, you can't take a Fanatic jacket and a Fanatic bib. They're a Berber fleece face, heavily insulated. You know, the Fanatic line's designed for sitting static, not designed for covering miles. But the big game line isn't designed for sitting static. You're going to get cold in it. And yeah. So you can, what I usually recommend is building your Nexus skin layers. There are some redundancies in our product line. So base layers are a little bit more redundant between big game, whitetail, waterfowl. And so build your Nexus skin intermediate layer out of the big game lineup, because that's where you're mostly going to be exposed, right? You might be down to a t-shirt, Utah elk hunt, Montana elk hunt, et cetera. Go with the Jetstream jacket, Timberline pant, Kelvin Light hoodie being your puffy insulation, Jetstream being your outer shell, Timberlines being your outer pants. And you can wear those in the tree stand, like early season, down mid-40s. You can get away with an early season whitetail system out of your big game system. And then just invest in a Fanatic jacket and a Fanatic bib. And that's your kind of two systems in one, if that makes sense. It's about as close as I can get to a system. But leading me into what is, you know, kind of key pieces for whitetail, Fanatic. I mean, it's the Fanatic system is one of those pieces that elaborates on what I mean by purpose built. It's not just a puffy jacket with wind stopper. You know, we designed it with a Berber fleece face, which, yes, to all those listening, it is a burr magnet. if you're walking through burrs, clearly the trail before you wear the Fanatic outfit. If you want quiet, that's fleece.
Yeah, and unfortunately, super quiet, yeah.
But the Fanatic jacket, we design it with that cross-angle zip. And what it does is allows room for a kangaroo pocket or a hand warmer pocket. So for archery hunters who don't like to wear bulky gloves, you can't wear bulky gloves. I like to slap a foot warmer, one of those adhesive foot warmers. So the inside of that hand warmer pocket just radiates heat. So I can wear a light, thin glove, keep my hands warm because they're together, right? The best way to retain warm is by holding your hands together. And then that gives us some surface plane room on the chest. Let me grab it and just realize. So in customer service, we have, I don't know if I mentioned this, we have a full demo rack of gear that the team can just take out in the field, right? The only way to talk about things or to have personal relevance with it. And so we have just about one of everything on this rack. So the Fanatic, just about to hang it up here, is, has this cross angle zipper. Right through here, front hand warmer pocket, as I discussed, front two pocket, rangefinder pocket, minimal movements, right? So instead of having to make big bulky movements into your pocket, you can make minimal movements to get to your front tube or your rangefinder. We also have little lanyards. I don't know how many stories I've heard from people that just drop the rangefinder, clip into their bow, because this little lanyard just kind of catches. I wouldn't recommend it. I'd rather you put it back. Otherwise it's going to make a noise, but, you know, from there, you know, it's a wind stopper laminate, so 100% windproof. When you can make a product windproof, you cut down on bulkiness.
Yep.
You retain all that warmth that your body's keeping. Convective cooling is not anyone's friend. Wind chill effects. You know, convective cooling is when wind cuts through and steals your body heat. For a whitetail static tree stand hunter, not beneficial. No. For a spot and stalk big game hunter is always on the go, you might want some convective cooling. Every situation is different, which is why you can't say one jacket is going to do everything. So the Fanatic is definitely one of my, you know, top pieces. The next, from the whitetail side, absolutely. From there, my favorite piece in big game, and there's a lot of them, you know, trying to narrow down one thing is like asking a musician which is their best album. This doesn't exist, but right now we're going into November, Montana. The Kelvin Down Windstopper hoodie is probably one of my favorite pieces. I run cold. The Kelvin Down Windstopper hoodie is 9 ounces of fill.
Right.
It's
that's the one I just got.
Yep. It's a box wall construction, so there's no pinch points. What box wall construction means is it's just got basically bricks of down stacked on top of each other is the best visual that I can give. Instead of a stitch through design, which is basically having a cold spot where the stitching is. Anything that, in my personal preference, anything that's over 6 ounces should be box walled or some type of trapezoidal baffling. So that way there's no pinch points. You know, 2-3 ounce fill weight garments, that's acceptable. Those are meant to be insulation pieces. But anything above that has to be box wall, and most companies are doing that. But it just improves the efficiency. Where our Kelvin Down hoodie excels over anything else similar, it's got a windstopper laminate. So it's meant to be an outer. It's way too puffy to go underneath a Jetstream or anything soft shell.
I actually put mine under the Jetstream and it fits well.
Did you get a Kelvin light hoodie or a Kelvin down hoodie?
No, I got the Kelvin down hoodie.
And you,
because I tried the light first, I'm like, oh, this is nice, but I'm like, you know what? Let me see if because you recommended me getting the Jetstream in the extra large. I wear a large and everything, so I got the extra large in the Jetstream and a large down hoodie, and it fits underneath there. And I'm like, and it's comfortable too. It's not like, you know, it doesn't feel cumbersome. I'm like, sweet, this is what I'm taking. You know, nice. I'm like, just in case I could throw the Jetstream over the down hoodie just seal out that 30-40 mile an hour wind that South Dakota has.
Yeah, man. Dude, whichever way, that's the nice thing about the Kelvin down hoodie, is wind stopper now. So whichever one you want on the outside, it's going to block that wind. For me, it's. I mean, think of a belay parka. When I'm ice climbing and belaying my partner, that thing goes on over top of everything that I'm wearing. Same concept for hunting. Instead of having to take off your Jetstream to put that Kelvin down hoodie on, you can just put it on over top of your Jetstream while you're sitting, glassing, waiting for whatever to come out of the tree line. When you have to make your move, take it off, throw it in your pack, you're on the go. It's just too much. I'm very much impressed that you can get that thing.
I thought it was gonna be like ridiculous, but I was like, no, it works great.
It's probably compressing a lot of the down, you know. That's the nice thing about that garment, is it does compress pretty small. It's about 28 ounces in a large. But it's really pretty compressible. I mean, for what it is, 9 ounces, that's one of the things that, you know, from a consumer perspective, you know, if I could add some, you know, what to look for when you're looking for insulation, a down jacket isn't another down jacket. You really need to understand what the fill weight is to understand what it is you're buying. Same with sleeping bags. That's really rule number one for sleeping bags. I almost don't look at temperature ratings anymore. I compare fill weight and the fill type to determine how warm I'm going to be in what situation. But again, I have a past to build off of. I have, you know, experience. But you can just look at across the board, you know, different sleeping bags and what their fill weights are to really understand what their comfort range is going to be. But anyway, totally getting sidetracked. But something to consider when you're getting product is, I mean, also reality, right? First Light, Kuyu, both online. You can no longer buy in store. So how do you know what you're buying? So you need to be educated on what you're getting before you buy it, so you can make an educated decision. So anyway, let me grab that. I think I've got one here. That's 2019 product. You can't see that yet. Here we go. So this one, I don't really have much to show just beyond the puffiness of it. Windstopper laminate. Yeah, we kind of talked through it already.
Right.
From there, we've got for waterfowl. I'm a little bit biased in my favorite pieces. So one of my favorite pieces is the gradient pant. It comes from the waterfowl category, but I use it for a lot of different applications. So I'll wear the gradient pant. Yeah, I wear it under my Stratus bibs. In the whitetail, I'll wear it under my Fanatic. They go really well. I wear them underneath my waders when I'm fishing. I end up fly fishing more in the winter. I call it my ice fishing. And so those things are critical underneath my waders. But, you know, they are designed for waterfowl hunters who go under bibs, under waders, et cetera. Soft shell face, but like a bi-component. You have a soft shell face with a, you know, Sherpa fleece liner to it.
Yeah.
And what's nice about fleece for those situations is puffy insulation is good when it's lofted. When it's compressed, there's no clove value. There's no heat retention. And so lofted fleece has more integrity. And so it holds its loft, I guess you could say. It just has more integrity there to retain warmth. It keeps those air pockets that retain that heat. And so that fleece works a lot better under waders or under bibs in any type of compressed environments. So gradient pant. And then from there, man, the Hudson jacket. I think the Hudson for me, just because of its technology. You know, one thing that I value from the waterfowl category is we don't have to worry about noise. You know, noise is a big thing for hunters. Waterfowl hunters, not so much. I mean, that's one thing that I love about waterfowl hunting at the end of my archery season. I'm not
You can sound like whatever you want to sound like, just as long as you're not out in the open.
As long as you're not out
flailing your arms, you're all right.
cooking up bacon, pancakes. I actually on Sunday took my son. He's 3 years old on his first hunting trip, and that was waterfowl hunting. Nice. Yeah, it was fun. My buddy Dustin is a great guy and has a lot of access down. I'm just gonna say in Montana, and you know, he had us all set up. We drove down, you know, threw out some decoys, and his daughter Avery and my son Brooks just hung out in between two panel blinds, and we ate pumpkin pancakes and shot some birds and geese. And I'm totally, you know, sidetracking this here, but it was incredible to just watch him observe. Awesome. Dustin and his calling. Like, I just watched him stare at Dustin while he's calling, just totally analyzing and absorbing. What are you doing? it was fun. So anyway, you know, to that point, waterfowl hunting allows us to really expand on what our capabilities are, because noise and those other variables aren't a concern. So we can make really durable, rugged pieces. Now, that isn't to say everything's the most durable and rugged. We run into individuals that hear that Sitka makes the most durable stuff out there. Well, it's not Carhartt, and not everything is the most durable. We make light packable puffy insulation. So just be, you know, heads up, that stuff's designed to be light packable. If you want something durable, you need to go soft shell. Like we have the Dakota series is meant for durability. And so anyway, the Hudson is one of my new favorite pieces, between the Hudson and the layout. What I love about the Hudson is some new technology that Gore introduced, which is basically called Stretch. I giggle about the name, but that's in a nutshell what it does. So they've been able to design it, laminate it into a pattern that allows Gore-Tex to expand into stretch. So for waterfowl hunters who go early to late season, right? I mean, waterfowl hunters have the widest range of hunting abilities or, you know, season dates. You can start with minimal layering and expand on that. Keep layering. And that stretch, those stretch panels are in the shoulder strategically to reduce any, you know, reduction in mobility or restriction in mobility. So you can keep adding layers without losing mobility. It's pretty neat, especially those guys, you know, who have broader shoulders. It really solves that. Standing up, swinging, bringing a gun to shoulder, et cetera. And so I'm just going to grab one piece here. Yeah, this is the Hudson jacket. Sorry, getting real close to the camera. So these are those stretch panels, like I was talking about, and it really allows you to expand. It's going to be hard doing this with just one hand, but there's a lot of mobility in this panel. Combining that with, you know, Gore-Tex technology, Primaloft insulation, and a standard fit, it just kind of allows that piece to be our most versatile garment that we make. So if a waterfowl hunter is looking for one piece, outer shell that does everything, allows for layering, the Hudson is the ticket. Yeah.
I think for me, I don't do any waterfowl hunting anymore, but for big game, my go-to right now has been, I think the Timberline pants are my favorite. I actually sold all my mountain pants. I got all Timberline pants, even though they're a little bit heavier.
Yeah.
But I prefer them because they're rugged. I like the patches on the knee pads and the butt. As far as base layer is concerned, I'm still in love with the Merinos. I think you guys make the best Merinos out there.
They're
durable. I mean, they don't fall apart.
Yeah, this year especially. So, you know, we just introduced the
light Merino.
Yeah, the Merino Light, which is core spun nylon, which is technology that's been out there. That's not, you know, anything brand spanking new. But in regards to comfort and durability, and sourcing, you know, in the background, the things that you don't think about is the environmental impact of certain decisions. And that's always something that we're considering, we're always thinking about. And so it's cleanly sourced, et cetera. Nice. You know, the other variable is that it's descale in a manner. And descaling merino wool just means comfort, really. It's going to be a very comfortable wool. So 17.5 micron. Man, I'm totally basing the weight. I want to say it's 120 weight merino wool. 17.5 micron nylon coarse spun. And then with that piece, we've also got the Apex hoodie. Apex is new for this year. That is, you know, when we talk about milling new textile, that's one of those textiles that is our own fabric, you can call it.
It's, love the Apex pants.
Yeah. So the hoodie uses what we call, and I keep looking off to the corner because I should just go and grab it, but I'm going to stay seated here. Apex hoodie uses a textile that we call dual face technology, or intelligent blending, as I call it. So a lot of other companies will just take synthetic and merino wool fiber by fiber, and it's a blend, right? The Apex hoodie uses what we call dual face technology. So we have a synthetic and a merino wool that are not glued together. Adhesives add weight, add noise, hold moisture, reduce breathability. And so they're knit in a manner that the synthetic fiber, the polyester, is on the outside, and the merino wool is facing inside, thus the name dual face. So two different textiles facing different directions. And what that does is it just, again, creates a microclimate, or a system, I should say, that one wicks moisture. So merino wool loves to absorb moisture, holds moisture. So pulls it away from the next skin layer. So that gives it away from your skin quickly, right? It gets from your skin to your synthetic or your merino wool to your next layer really quickly. So it's away from you, allowing your body to stay warm, right? Moisture transfers heat 25 times faster than air. So it just allows you to be a little more comfortable. Merino wool is also antimicrobial, so controls some of that body odor, allows you to go on an extended hunt without, you know, taking that thing out of your backpack going, whoa, this definitely smells different than it did day one. And then the synthetic on the outside, the reality is synthetics are more durable than merino. You've got a pro-con chart. You know, the only valuable thing really for synthetics is durability, weight, etc. There's probably some other benefits with synthetics, but for the most part, durability is it. And so we add a synthetic face to the Apex for abrasion resistance. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds in a new textile that we've introduced.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, the pants are not, are the pants made out of the same or no?
No, the pants are different. So the hoodie actually uses that dual face technology, and then it uses a polyester shoulder material that is kind of padded, and it is laminated with a grid fleece behind it. And we do that in the shoulders for added durability. The pants, same textile throughout the entirety of the pant.
Okay.
It just wouldn't be durable enough if we use that dual face. Even with a synthetic face on it, it's just not burly enough for, I mean, our bottoms, our legs, right? We're hunters. The reality is we don't want to be on a trail. We want to be off the beaten path.
Right.
And so,
brush and all that stuff.
Exactly. We actually have to make more durable gear than the mountain sports, specifically because of that. You know, somebody might be climbing Everest, but guess what's on Everest? Snow and ice.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, there's not broken branches and logs and barbed wire fences and all those other variables that are,
you know, cat's claw.
Definitely cat's claw. waiting for you. The only damage I have on my Arc'teryx pants are from my, you know, crampons, you know, making the cuffs look like Swiss cheese because I'm putting these points through my pants. That's it. So,
Well, cool, man. I think that gives people a lot of food for thought. You know, and a way to figure out what they need for themselves. I'd like to ask you before we get off if you'd share with us one of your most memorable hunts, maybe something you learned, something, maybe something that changed the way you hunt today, or just your favorite hunt, whatever.
Yeah, man. You know, well, for me, my grandfather turned 90 last year.
Oh, wow.
And I hate to say, I regret the fact that I have just, distracted, put it off, take it for granted. You know, he's going to be there. He's always going to be there.
Right.
And it finally dawned on me when he turned 90, you know, that's not a real thing. Like,
no.
You know, our time ends on this earth, right? And so I regret not doing this earlier, but I got to hunt with them for the first time last year. And for me, it just sums up that experience going to a family camp, hunting with family that, you know, I didn't hunt with. So growing up, I was that individual who couldn't watch hunting shows, didn't like the idea of killing. You know, I understood the concept of hunting, but it didn't really connect with me in terms of harvesting and, you know, that kind of holistic lifestyle of, you know, field to table.
Right.
And it wasn't until I moved to Montana that I really, it kind of just hit me. So I'm originally from, born in PA, grew up in New York, moved to Montana. And Montana is what really opened my eyes to hunting as, you know, something that I then became very passionate about. And so anyway, long story short, went hunting with my grandfather, had some close encounters, but, you know, the... Yes, I won't be able to put this the way that it, you know, really emotionally impacted me. But on the last day, climbed out of the stand, and he was about 100 yards away. You know, we set up a blind for him on a little river bottom where we had a lot of scrapes and rubs. And I had a buck that came.
This is back in PA.
Close. This is in PA at our family camp. Last day, legal buck comes in archery season to 25 yards. You know, but unfortunately he made the right decision to go underneath an apple tree. It didn't give me a shot and he walked away. And, you know, I stayed in the stand, waited, you know, it was probably around 11 o'clock, came out, you know, crossed the creek, met up with my grandfather and sat down and, you know, told him about the encounter. And he just looked at me and said, good for you. Like, good. Like, yeah. That's what it's about. Those close encounters. Like, I picked the right spot. You know, the buck was there, like made all the right decisions, didn't shoot because there wasn't a shot, like just good, right? Yeah. Like that's all I had to say to embrace all of, you know, what that really meant or right. What it was. I just smiled, you know, that was it. That's what, for me, that's what hunting's about, is that experience, the, you know, spending time with family, spending time with people that I like, that I love, not just love.
Right.
You know, putting food on the table for my two kids. I got a 1 and a 3-year-old. So, you know, I recently just made a bunch of Polish, what I call hot dogs. So I do all my own self-processing. So I made a bunch of little hot dogs. So I don't have to go buy Oscar Mayer hot dogs anymore from the store. They just kind of grab a pack from the refrigerator and they're already smoked and cooked. They can just eat it that way or I can heat them up. So they walk around with basically snack sticks all the time. I mean, that's... All of that for me is, you know, why I kind of do what I do, I guess. Nice. Yeah.
That's a great story.
Question.
No, you know what, man? That's an excellent story because, like, today's day and age, hunting has become so much about it's the most epic, it's the most this. And I believe me, I fall. I may sound hypocritical now because I fall into that category. Obviously, I make films and stuff like that, and I try to make them, you know, I try to show everybody how the experiences were or whatever. And
yeah,
and
it's really about
bring it to life. But, you know, I got into hunting because my dad and my uncles hunted and because I wanted to spend time with them in the woods and because I wanted to, you know, it was a family thing. It was I hunted with my cousins and it was just, that was what it was about. Now it's like everywhere you look is who's the biggest badass, who could shoot the biggest buck, who could shoot the biggest bull and da, 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 da. And I mean, listen, hunting's always been a little bit of a chest beater sport to an extent. Like, you know, we used to drive our, you know, strap the buck to the hood of the car and drive it to the city center or whatever, and everybody come out and look at the buck too. You know, there was that going on back then too. But
yeah,
the core of it, the meat and potatoes of it was spending time with the family and having an opportunity to take some meat home for the family. Yeah, that's what it was all about.
That was the baseline. I mean, it, and every industry goes through that. I mean, climbing, if you think about it, there's so much. And ego is not the right word, but there is a lot of like pushing the limits, and that a little bit of it is, you know, I will say, you know, for me, this is how I kind of put some of those like, well, why don't you just go out and shoot the first thing that you see then if it's all about, well, then you don't engage in the experience as long, right? Then it's done, right? Yeah. Like you're just over. also, you know, when I go for a hike, I don't hike halfway up a mountain and turn around and come down just to go for a hike. Like there's a goal,
right?
And you establish that goal. And, you know, the reality is you want to get meat, you want to put it in your freezer, but there's also other.
Yeah. Oh no, I get it. Believe me.
As part of that objective. Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. But I like most people don't talk about the stuff that you just talked about. And that was cool. Well, awesome, man. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us about Sitka gear and about, you know, picking the right gear. I guess you got any good cons coming up or?
Man, this year work has been, you know, I mean, one, we work in the hunting industry, right? So obviously it's hunting season, and so we're pretty darn busy right now.
Right.
But just lately it's been exponential. Business has been good. Let me just say that.
That's good.
And so I haven't really been able to get out much. So just focusing on time with my family. So when fishing, or my wife loves fishing, so for her anniversary we went down to Idaho, spent some days in Idaho fly fishing.
Nice.
I asked Randy Newberg to get me cow elk. So I'm living curiously through other hunters to get some meat in my freezer. So,
gotcha.
I'll probably get out, do some more waterfowl hunting, but that's about it for this season. Nothing big. How about you? You're going
I got South Dakota. I'll leave Friday, and then I come back. I have a elk hunter that I have to guide for the late season archery here in Arizona. And then from there, that brings us into December. Oh, from December, first week of December, I'm going to be sheep hunting. My cousin Anthony drew a desert sheep tag, so I'll be with him.
Nice. In Arizona?
Yeah. Nice. He got the same unit that I had 2 years ago. So that should be awesome. Good hunt. And then mid-December all the way through the end of January, I'll be deer hunting either for myself or with clients here. We have quite a few archery clients in Arizona.
Nice. So,
and then that brings me
to... Does that range through coos, mule deer, et cetera?
Yep. It's any antlered deer, over-the-counter tag, and most of the state is open. Like, there's a few units that are not. A lot of the single-digit units are not open. One, you don't want to be up there that time of year anyway. January up in, 9,000 feet is not very comfortable. But hunting the desert, every desert unit's open. Really good time. Really great time of year to come hunt. And then takes us into
February,
March.
Right?
What's that?
Is that what you just invited me? Right?
Absolutely.
That was what that was?
Anytime, man. Anytime you want to come. If I got time, if I'm not guiding somebody else, I'll be more than happy to take it. And then we have our javelina hunts in February.
Nice.
Yeah, February and pretty much the whole month of February.
That's
a great time.
You guys definitely expand your season. We're pretty much September to November, big game, deer, and then waterfowl almost, midway through January, I think.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Then we kick back up again in April, turkey, bear.
Right. Same here. Yeah. Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate your time. If there's anything else, man, you know how to get a hold of me.
All right, man. Sounds good. Take it easy.
Safe travels.
Bye. Hey, guys. Want to stay connected with the podcast? Check out my blog, johnstallone.me. That's www.johnstallone.me. And you could go on there. On the top right-hand corner, there's a little subscribe box. Quickly put in an email address, hit subscribe, and boom, you're done. There's a lot of great information on there, a lot of posts that go hand-in-hand with the podcast that we do, plus gear reviews, plus we have the signature T-shirts on there, the I Eat Fast Food T-shirts, and the Tuesday Coosday shirts. It's a really good way to stay connected with the podcast. And thanks for listening.